explain the similarity between Defoe, Toronto FC, Beckham, and the LA Galaxy to us, and maybe also the differences.
Yeah, because it's not an exact like for like, but there are some similarities just in the sense that Beckham, at that point in time, had had a bad experience in LA and wanted out, wanted to make the move to Milan, go back to Europe, and sort of give up on the Beckham experiment, as it were, in LA. And Tim Leiwicki at the time was very forceful in saying, no, you know, we're not going to sell you. We'd like to make this thing work in LA, and we'll loan you to Milan, and we'll work with you on some of this stuff, but we aren't going to end this right now. And the similarity, I guess, I would say is, and Defoe hasn't been as public as Beckham was about wanting to leave, but I've had people on both sides, the club side and people close to Defoe, tell me that he wanted to go and wanted to make the move back to England. That's why we saw his name come up so much on transfer day. And even though Leiwicki is on his way out, which is a very big difference in Toronto, he still wants to leave a team that has gotten to the playoffs for the first time, mm-hmm. and that's important to him. And so it's very much of a piece with Tim Leiwicki's past to say, look, it's all about making the playoffs for the first time, and we're kind of on the border of making the playoffs right now. He just fired the coach, and you're going to stay as long as the playoffs are still a possibility for us this half season here. And that's essentially what Harry Redknapp, the QPR manager, told media over in England yesterday, which was, we wanted Defoe, and Toronto said we have to keep him for the playoffs.
Grant, do you think that there is a direct correlation between Tim Leiwicki losing his position at MLSE and Jermaine Defoe wanting to leave, or are these two separate things? In other words, if Tim Leiwicki were to, you know, if his situation hadn't changed, if he was in fact in place, as far as we would know for the foreseeable future, would that have changed Jermaine's thought process at the deadline?
This is speculation now on my part. I do think that if I'm Jermaine Defoe and Tim Leiwicki, who has this great reputation as the man who landed David Beckham and Robbie Keane for Los Angeles, and who went way out of his way to get Jermaine Defoe to come to Toronto, and we've seen all the stories about the elaborate lengths that Leiwicki went to get Jermaine Defoe, including really whining and dining his mom, knowing that she was a big part of getting him to come to Toronto. I certainly do think that Tim Leiwicki leaving MLSE, leaving Toronto, has some connection to Jermaine Defoe probably not being with the team much longer.
Grant Wall of Sports Illustrated joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. My sense, and again, this is pure speculation, but my sense is that it's going to be awfully hard to keep Jermaine Defoe interested in Toronto the rest of the way. But you know what? In this city, we haven't really had a player involved in a transfer deadline saga. And there are, as you well know, and everybody knows, Grant, there are guys whose names are out there all the time who don't get moved, and they just kind of, you know, well, they carry on, and their name comes up again. Knowing what you know about Jermaine's situation and what people are telling you, do you think he's the type of guy that is basically has basically turned it off right now for Toronto FC?
I've never heard anyone say that Defoe is not professional in his entire career, so I don't see him turning things off right now. I do think it was interesting that his name was coming up in these transfer deadline day talks, and he could have moved, given that he's dealing with an injury that Toronto, the club, has told us will keep him out until the end of September.
Well, it may indeed at some point need surgery, too.
Yeah, so, you know, end of September, there's not much time left in the season in MLS after that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I would go so far as to say that Defoe has played his last game for Toronto. I think that's dependent on the injury situation. But I do think if he is fit and able to play, that he's not going to dog it, that he's going to give maximum effort. And you look at how he's performed when he's been on the field this year for Toronto. He's got 11 goals in 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think and I think Tim Leiweke and the people who are with the club in Toronto know that Defoe is important if they want to make a playoff run and get somewhere where the club hasn't been before.
Does this look bad on MLS in general, or is this as Tim Bezbachenko said, look, this is what happens when you play in the big leagues, and this is what happens when you end up signing players with a certain pedigree. You end up just like every other team, just like teams over in Europe, you end up sort of falling victim, but you end up finding yourself in the middle of these transfer deadline soap operas. It's what happens when you play in the big leagues.
I think it looks bad in the sense that Toronto made a huge deal out of committing $100 million to Michael Bradley and Jermaine Defoe for the transfers, for salary commitments. And for Defoe, if he does go back to England after just one season, he signed a contract for much more than just one season. And so I think looks bad. And obviously Leiweke leaving Toronto so soon after he got there doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. It makes it seem like this was a very short-term thing that's not going to have a lot of long-lasting positives out of it. Now, do I think Michael Bradley could stay longer? Yeah, I certainly do. And I don't think this means that Toronto is doomed in for future seasons, but I also think this kind of short-term stuff is not what people want to see.
What makes you think, Grant, that Michael Bradley wouldn't look at this and go, this looks like it might become an untenable situation? I know he's got different, there are different things at work as far as his relationship and his career goes than Jermaine Defoe, but what makes you think that Michael Bradley wouldn't look around and go, I don't know if I really need this at this stage?
I think it's certainly possible he could.
Right.
Here's a guy in Bradley who looked around at his situation at Roma, saw that he was being offered five times the salary he was making there with Toronto, saw Tim Leiweke, and there's a lot of faith in Tim Leiweke in these players when you make a decision like that. And I also think Michael Bradley is a total pro, and he'll figure out kind of what's the best thing to do. And I should say, I haven't spoken to Michael Bradley in the last week, so I don't know what his thoughts are on the coaching change and Leiweke leaving and Defoe potentially leaving. I wouldn't want to say one way or the other on Michael Bradley's future. I think right now everyone with the team is really concerned about this playoff stretch run and trying to turn things around after some pretty poor results lately.
Grant Wall, Sports Illustrated, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. What do you know about the new Toronto FC coach?
Actually, I spent a lot of time talking to Greg Vanney for my book, The Beckham Experiment, because Greg was on the Galaxy during that time. I think he's a really smart guy who knows MLS extremely well and knows youth development in MLS extremely well. And so we'll have to wait and see how it shakes out. But it helps, I think, to have a guy who's smart, a guy who knows the league. We've certainly seen hires made that for coaching positions at MLS for a lot more money that don't have those things going for them. At the same time, I'm slightly surprised it wasn't as an interim job, because here's a guy who has not been a head coach in MLS before. And yet he's got a lot of pressure on him suddenly here to try and get this team into the playoffs, and we'll see how he does.
Grant, before I let you go, just a quick comment on the transfer deadline itself in England. Manchester United, obviously sort of the marquee move with Falcao joining them along with Daley Blind. What did you make of Manchester United's moves? And, as someone who follows that team, it's nice that they're getting all this talent, but they still appear to me to be really weak in the back end. And I think if you talk to a lot of Man U fans, they'd probably tell you they would prefer Mats Hummels over about two of those other moves that were made.
Oh, of course. You look at what United has done in the field this year, and there's problems all over the field positionally, and the moves that they made, while splashy, haven't really addressed those needs as far as I thought they would go and get another center back. I thought they would go and get a central midfielder. And, you know, Blind is a guy who's, you know, very versatile and can play in the central midfield. He can play left wing back. He can play even one of the center back spots. And I think we may see him play a lot of different positions for United this year. But I don't think Falcao was somebody that they, you know, you sat, you know, heading into the final day and said they need someone like Falcao.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his knee injuries and I think there's reason for concern there, I guess is the best way to put it. But, you know, it's hard to be too bullish on United. I know they made a lot of big money acquisitions here right now, but a lot of things need to change. I don't want to write them off after three games, but I think it's going to be a fairly long process here to get these new guys integrated and see if they can actually make a run to the top four. I think they have a big advantage with not having to play in Europe, and they can focus almost entirely on the league. But, you know, so far, not so good.